Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this new day, this day that we've never seen before, God, where we can come into your house and worship you and celebrate your goodness, God. Sing of your goodness and your praises, Lord God. I thank you for that you inhabit the praises of your people, which means that you are here with us. Lord God, and we thank you for you are the mender of broken hearts. You are the one who sets us on a straight path, Father God. You lift up our downtrodden heads, God. Thank you, Father God, for giving us vision, giving us purpose for living, giving us direction, Father God. I ask that you move in this place. Holy Spirit, I know you're already here. You're already moving. You're already working, God. Lord, and so we just continue on. We just continue on with your move today, God. Let my voice be a reflection of your heart, God. And I thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing in our lives and each and every individual in this place. Lord God, the victories that are breaking forth in this house, the healings, the deliverance, God, the financial manifestation of financial freedom, Lord God, we thank you for all of it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five as you find your seat. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Spirit of the Lord gave me a title for today's message, and if you're taking notes, you can write that title down, and the title is King of Hearts. King of Hearts is today's message title. And the premise behind this message is that God truly desires to become the king of your heart. I believe some of what Pastor Shorter was talking about earlier nicely, it ties into this message today, because truly and honestly, unless God is the king of your heart, you're not going to have much passion about his kingdom. You're not going to be very excited to hear a song that's talking about the return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to bring forth his kingdom and to gather up his children. You're not going to be too excited about that if he's not the king over your heart. Jesus, when he spoke, he always spoke to the heart. He always dealt with the heart. And we serve a God who is the God not of the surface, but he's a God truly of our heart, because he knows that if he can get to our heart, then the rest of our lives, all of our actions, all of our desires, all of our want-tos, all of our decisions will change when God gets a hold of our heart. We had some people just come forward a few minutes ago to receive the Lord Jesus, and some to recommit their lives back to God. And what they were doing at that moment, for those who were coming to receive God for the first time, what they were entering into was an operation. And that operation was a heart transplant, where God removes that heart that lusts for sin and that lusts for evil and that has a hardness to it. He removes that from us and he gives us a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart for his kingdom. How many people in here have that new heart inside of your chest? Come on. How many people in here have a passion and a heart for the things of God? How many people in here have a passion and a heart for winning souls into the kingdom? How many people in here have a passion and a heart for the righteousness of God to prevail over all the evil that we see in this land? This is God's desire for his church. It's for us, our hearts, to be set on him and for him to be the king of our heart. Because the alternative of God being the king of your heart is you being the king or the queen, for my ladies in the building, of your own heart. And when you are the ruler of your own heart, your whole life is centered around you. Because you reign on the throne of your own life. And all of us who are believers in here, who just raised our hand that Jesus is the king of our heart, all of us at some point in time, we were the ruler, the king, the Lord over our own heart. And when I say heart, I'm not talking about the physical beating muscle in your chest. No, I'm talking about the inner man, the inner part of you, your soul. Who you really are on the inside, what drives you, what moves you, what you care about, what you love, what you're passionate about. The things that you think, the things that you, the way that you speak, the decisions that you make, the inner man, the part of you that we can't see on Sunday morning when you show up in your nice dress or your nice suit, who you really are and the part that you hide when you come to church. Guess what? God is the only one who can see our heart. He's the only one who can see our heart. So the question I want you guys to ask each other and find somebody that you want to talk to this morning and ask them, how's your heart? Ask somebody, how's your heart? How's your heart doing? Turn to somebody, ask them, how's your heart doing? Some of y'all refuse to participate, and that's a pretty good sign of how your heart is doing. Because when your inner being is passionate about God and sold out for the things of God, it's easy to obey in the house. It's easy to say, I submit, I'm going to go. Just like Pastor Shorter, he was up here preaching a few minutes ago. We didn't plan it that way. Service wasn't to be planned that way, but guess what? I have a heart for God to do what he does. I'm not sitting there, I need to get up, it's my turn to speak, you cutting into my time. No, because my heart is for the kingdom, not for myself. And this is what we need to understand. Yeah, you can clap right there. It's when we need to understand, you need to put yourself in the back seat and truly let God become the king of your heart, because when he becomes the king of your heart, narcissism cannot no longer last. Pride can't last anymore. All of these cultural things and character flaws that people have, they stem from the heart issue that people have. And truly, honestly, you know, in this world, the problem that we have with humanity is not necessarily just a sin problem. And we're going to go over this in a minute. It's not just a sin problem. It is a sin problem, but truly, honestly, it's deeper than that. It's the heart. Because sin would have no power if we did not desire and lust for it. So we blame the devil, but the devil's looking at us like, hey, where there's a demand, I'm going to supply. It's business. Supply and demand. The devil wouldn't be able to supply in evil movies and evil music and things that are degrading to societies and things that promote death and debauchery and sexual sins, all these things. There wouldn't be a market for it if the heart of man, the condition of man's heart, was not evil. Enough of me talking. Let's read the Bible. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. Actually, I'm just going to read this to you because I'm reading out of the New Living Translation here because I like the way it says it. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above everything else. Protect your heart because it determines the course of your entire life. You have an anger problem, you have an anger issue, that is the symptom of a deeper heart issue. You have a issue where you have no respect for authority, and we see this rampant, especially in young people that have no respect for authority. They're fighting with the police. Come on, they're fighting with their teachers. They can't nobody tell them nothing. They're just disrespectful. That is a symptom of a deeper heart issue that they have. Guard your heart above all else, or protect your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. A healthy heart equals a healthy life. You want to be happier? Get a happy heart. You always complain, well, they did this, they did that, they did this to me, they said this about me, they didn't say this, they didn't. Guess what? None of that would matter if your heart was good. None of that would matter if you were good inside yourself. What you're doing right now is you're projecting your issues onto everybody else. And instead of looking at yourself in the mirror, you're blaming everyone else for an issue that you take with you wherever you go, because wherever you go, there you are. I'm going to leave Washington State because I can't stand how these people are. And yada, yada. Guess what? You taking yourself and your funky attitude and your broken heart with you to wherever you're going. You hopped around from relationship to relationship. Oh, they all the same. They all the same. They just get on my nerves. They can never do right. Well, have you ever looked in the mirror and thought, well, maybe the common denominator is not all of these different individuals that I've tried to have a relationship with? Maybe it's me. Maybe my heart is in a broken state where that everything that everyone does, it always offends me, or it always rubs me the wrong way, or I'm always have a short fuse, or I'm quick to go off the edge, and I can't really be able to manage my own emotions. There's a deeper heart issue at play. Guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9. God is a heart specialist. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9. Jeremiah 17, 9. And Jeremiah, being one of the major prophets of the Old Testament, he was tasked with the responsibility of speaking on behalf of God to a nation that had gone away from God through disobedience. And Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he was always just crying out, kind of like Pastor Shorter was crying out, talking about that cry that's going to come out in that almost that desperate plea. Please be reconciled to the Lord. Please come while you still have time. Jeremiah was like that as a prophet, pleading with the people on behalf of God. Please turn and repent. Get it right with God. Choose the right path. Stop doing evil. He was the weeping prophet in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9. Do you have it? It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who are you talking about? Whose heart? I'm talking about your heart. You ever heard somebody say, follow your heart? That ain't in the Bible. And if you've lived a little bit of life, you know through experience that that doesn't always work out according to plan. I'm just gonna follow my heart. I'm just gonna follow my heart. My heart tells me to go, and I'm just gonna do that. And guess what? That is dangerous. If you know somebody, think about it. If you know somebody who all they ever do to you is lie to you, everything they ever tell you is always a lie. Anybody know anyone like that? You can't believe nothing they said. They say they're a pathological liar. Everything they say, and when you know, at some point in time, you used to believe them. They tell you stuff and you believe them, and then come to find out, they lied about that. They lied about this. They lied about everything. Can't believe nothing they say. You don't trust that person, do you? But yet we still trust our heart, and our heart lies to us the most. Come on, somebody. We trust, why? Because it's us. We trust ourselves, and the Bible tells us that we should not lean on our own understanding. We should not trust in ourselves. Because deeper than just the sin, which is this thing over here, deeper than that, and what's more important than just dealing with that, which is a symptom of a deeper issue, is dealing with our heart and our trust, our faith in God. The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what we're really looking at here is a faith issue. If you have faith in God, you will not put your trust in yourself. Therefore, you won't lean on your own understanding. Therefore, you won't be dependent upon the direction of your heart. And when your heart is off, your faith in God will steer you right, because you trust him instead of yourself. So Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? The person you're sitting next to doesn't really know your heart. They know what you tell them, what you open up to them and share with them, but they don't really know what's going on inside of your heart. They can't see what's going on inside of your heart. But verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, God responds to his own question. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. He says, I, the Lord, test the heart, and I match it up with the fruit of his doing. And when, say, for instance, you think about how Jesus spoke and he mentioned that there would be people who would stand before him on judgment day and say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did these great things in your name. We went to church. We sang in the choir. We, you know, don't you know who I am? I served you. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Why? Because he's not just looking at your actions, but he's matching them up with your heart. If your heart is not for him, but your actions are, you know, doing this religious obligatory thing, then guess what? You're not fooling God. And like Pastor Shorter just said, you can't play God. Why? Because he knows all things, and he knows your heart. He knows your intentions. He knows your real desires. He knows your reasons why you do what you do. So it's better for us, it would behoove us to just submit fully our heart and our why and our intentions unto God. Submitting our heart to him is where we find peace and joy and healing. In verse number 10 again, it says, I, the Lord, do you see this in your Bible? I, the Lord, search the heart. He searches the heart, and I test the mind, even to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Turn with me in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, underline, hear his voice, those three words there, hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the days of trial in the wilderness. Therefore, if you will hear his voice, it says there in verse number 7. The health of our heart or the condition of our heart is directly connected to how good we are hearing his voice. Bible says, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God, being who he is, God, when he speaks his word, this is why it's important for us to not put a whole bunch of stock in the opinions of man, a whole bunch of stock in philosophies that we see online and the things that we read online that, you know, they sound good, they make us feel good, but they have no power in them in that they're not rooted in the word of God. Because when God speaks, when he speaks, your heart responds. I'll say that again. When God speaks, our hearts respond. Think about it. When God decided that he wanted to create an earth and stars and heaven and the moon and the sun and all of creation, what did he do? He spoke and it was. So when we hear from God, when we learn how to hear from God, when we gain a strong connection with the Lord to be able to hear from him, our inner being is brought to life. It responds in a supernatural way. It's why you feel like you feel so good after you come, after you leave church, after hearing the word of God preach. Because it's beyond the surface, your soul, your inner being is being ministered to through the word of God. This is why we can never downplay the power of meeting with the Lord. We can never downplay the power of getting in your proverbial prayer closet or wherever you meet with God, in your car, wherever you meet with God, and you're able to wait on the Lord and really hear from God. Because, you know, when you pray, you shouldn't be the only one talking. A conversation should go both ways. And so we pray to God and we seek the Lord. You put on that worship music. You set the atmosphere for the Lord to speak. You read your scriptures or whatever. And then you pray and you wait on the Lord. And you learn how to hear from the Spirit of God. Because when he speaks, you receive. When he speaks, your heart begins to be mended and healed. And this is what society needs desperately. We live in a land full of people with sick hearts. We live in a land full of people who have hearts that devise evil, hearts that that plot and plan to do wrong, hearts that have a lust for the flesh and a lust for pleasure and a lust for the things of this world, a lust for money, a lust for fame, a lust for success. And truly, the only answer that this world has is to be connected to the God who speaks to hearts. And as he speaks, we should listen. So Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7, once again. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit has said, today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice, don't hear my voice today, hear God's voice today. God is speaking to you today. It's not a man up here preaching to you. This is God is speaking through an earthen vessel to get a hold of you. It's his voice you need to hear, not my voice, not Pastor Shorter's voice, not Mrs. Shorter's voice. It's his voice that we desire for each and every believer to hear when you guys come to church. If you hear his voice, but look at this. Verse number 8, do not, everyone say do not. Do not harden your hearts as in rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. He's referring to those, the children of Israel, who ended up not being able to inherit the promised land because their hearts were hardened at the voice of God. And this is the pandemic that we truly deal with in humanity across the world, especially in America, is those who have heard the voice of God and yet and still have hardened their hearts. Because the more you suppress something, the harder it gets. And when soil is hard, you can't plant into it. You can't deposit anything into it. So every time you hear the word of God preached, every time you hear about the conviction of sin preached in church, and that thing, that sin that you deal with, that you keep running back to, and then you leave the house of God having heard the truth, and you go back to that lifestyle, every time you do that, you're suppressing, you're pressing down the truth. And your heart becomes hard. Every time you reject to listen and heed the voice of the Lord. Some of you watching online right now, you've been rejecting, you've been hardening your heart against God. And it is going to become harder, and it's been harder, and it's harder and harder, and it gets harder and harder for you to be able to really receive the good things that God has for you because you've hardened out your heart towards him. And God said, at some point, I will just give you off to a reprobate mind. I will just give you the desire of your sinful heart. Your desire is not for me. It's not for holiness. It's not for righteousness. Your desire is for evil. Your desire, your heart is wicked. It's deceitful. And you follow right after it straight to hell. And I will give you your desire because I love you. He's saying, please don't harden your heart towards me. I'm crying out to you. I'm your savior. I'm your answer. I'm your hope. But you've hardened your heart. Do not harden your heart. Verse 8, one more time. Your hearts, as in the rebellion in the days of trial in the wilderness. Where your fathers tested me. This is verse number 9. They tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation.
It said they will go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of what? Of sin? No, an evil heart of unbelief. See, our hearts are like a garden. And God is the only one who can be a gardener for us. Any gardeners in the house? Any gardeners? You raise your hand. Be proud. Okay. A couple people. So, okay. You know that to maintain a garden, it takes work. But one thing you don't have to put effort into is weeds. Weeds grow on their own. They show up uninvited. They are the uninvited guests to the party. You don't have to put weed seeds in the ground. I mean, unless you're trying to grow another kind of weed, but we ain't gonna talk about that today. You've been delivered. You don't have to put weed seed in the ground. You don't have to water weeds. They just show up on their own. I gave up on gardening. I said, this is futile. This is fruitless. To quote King Herod over there. You know. Because they grow up and they just come out of nowhere, and you have to get them out. Well, God is the gardener of our heart. He's the only one who has access there. And he's the only one who can pull those weeds up, because you can't just trim the weeds. You have to pull them up from the root. God deals with the root. He's not a surface God. He is the only one. He's the only one. That's why I say he's our only hope, because he's the only one who's pulling weeds out of our heart from the root. And some of you have allowed weeds to grow in your heart. You've allowed resentment, anger. You've allowed the pain of a relationship that went south to grow these weeds in your heart. And so God can't, it's just a mess in there. And it comes out in the way you act and the way you treat people, and you think it's everybody else, but it's really you. It's really your heart. Your heart is unkept. And you need to tend to your heart. And how do you tend to your heart? By going and thinking positive things, by having positive vibes and going around and writing happy things on your social media. No, the only way to be able to tend to your heart is by submitting it to the heavenly gardener. He's our heavenly father, but he's also our heavenly gardener. Because he comes in like no one else can, like no therapy session can, like no self-help book can. Come on. He comes in and he weeds out. He weeds out all of those weeds, all of those things that have started to take root in our heart. And I believe as the body of Christ, we all have to tend to our garden. We all have to tend to our heart. And like the Bible says, like we just read, we have to guard our heart. We have to guard. You got to put that Roundup down sometimes and make sure them weeds don't come sprouting back in there. When offense comes, when somebody says something, when the pastor says something that offends you, you got to be careful not to allow a weed to start sprouting up because you don't like what he's saying today. Because when that happens, you're the one who pays the price. You take that weed everywhere that you go. You take that mess, that trash that's festering inside of you everywhere that you go. And you're no longer walking like Christ, talking like Christ. You ain't Christ-like no more. And so we have to guard our hearts. Say, guard your heart. Write this down. A hard heart will produce a hard life. A hard heart will produce a hard life. There's some people who live hard lives. I see some people sometimes on the streets
you know, and they're, you know, maybe hooked on drugs or whatever. And, you know, it's always, you always wonder, like, how did they end up there, right? You know, how do they end up living this hard life? You know, but sometimes, not all, but sometimes you have individuals in their heart for whatever reason, and maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe they were abused. Maybe they, you know, somebody, you know, slipped something in their drink and they got hooked on a substance or something like that happened. But at some point in time, their heart was so darkened and hardened. And a lot of times what happens is they refuse authority and they refuse responsibility and they refuse any answer that they can turn to, you know, from the world standpoint. And they just choose to just go ahead and live that way. I'm just going to live a hard life. I'm just going to live out on the streets. I'm just going to live addicted to drugs. This is just who I am now. Why? Because the condition of their heart was in such a way that allowed them to consider that as an option. And we have to be careful with the condition of our heart. Because as I said, a hard heart will lead to a hard life. And a lot of your problems, you can't blame them just on the devil. Most of your problems are not, you can't just put them on the devil. We like to blame the devil for everything, but sometimes it's your hard heart and your disobedience to God that open the door for that hard life or that hard thing that you're having to deal with right now. I don't know who needs to hear that today, but we need to understand that you can change the narrative if you will submit your heart to God. And for those of you who came forward today to receive from the Lord, I pray that you submit your life to God and you will realize life don't have to be as hard as you have made it. Luke chapter 24, verse number 32, and I'm wrapping up right here. Luke chapter 24, verse number 32. Awesome story. You should go read the whole chapter 24 of Luke, because you'll see how you'll see some things that happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ amongst the disciples, the followers of Christ. But in verse number 32, there had been a couple of guys that Jesus encountered on the road to Emmaus. They were a little sad and dejected because Jesus had died on the cross. They had not known. They didn't know that he arose from the dead. And so Jesus caught up to them as they were heading back to their hometown away from Jerusalem, where Jesus had told all the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. They were like, we're out of here. We're done. We're like Pastor mentioned the other day that Peter went back to fishing and his day job, and because they had lost hope. And the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So when you put your hope or you give your heart to anything else but God, when you give all of your heart to all these other things, some of you have put all your heart in a man or in a woman, or you put all your heart into a career, you put all your heart into your status or your looks, and then all of a sudden you get a little older and you don't look that way no more, or you're not able to make that money like you used to make it anymore, and all your heart is into those things, hope deferred makes the heart sick, and you all of a sudden you got a sick heart, and you're bitter with the world, you're angry at everybody, you're mad about everything, because your heart, your passion, your reason for living was placed in the wrong thing. And their hope had been dashed, and they were on their way back to their hometown. In Luke chapter 24, verse number 32, it says, and they said to one another, this is after Jesus had came and met up with them, and he spoke to them, and they broke bread together. They said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Did not our hearts burn within us while our Lord talked to us? This should be our experience as Christians. When we come to church and hear the truth being proclaimed from the pulpit, our hearts should resonate and there should be a burning fire inside of us. When you get before the Lord on your own time, because sometimes the only time you get with God and you meet with God and you come and check in with God is on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. But when you get with God in your house, in your own private room, and you begin to open up your heart to the Lord,
your heart will begin to burn for God. This is God's desire for the body of Christ. Not to have a whole bunch of heartless Christians running around, but to have people who are on fire for the Lord. Passion comes out of the heart. God desires a church that is passionate about Jesus, that is on fire for Jesus. How does that happen? That happens by us connecting with him. He spoke to them, and they said to each other, there's something different about this man. When he speaks to us, it's like our hearts are burning with fire. They're consumed and on fire. And God's desire for each and every one of us is for us to have a passion for him, so much so where that our hearts burn for him. So when Sunday morning rolls around, when it's Saturday night and you got to decide, am I going to go to church tomorrow or not? It's not I got to go to church tomorrow. It's I get to go to church tomorrow. Why? Because I've been with God. He's been speaking to me all week and my heart is burning for the Lord. We got to wake ourselves up. We have to pursue God. When you're in a relationship, especially as the men, when you're in that courting stage, that early stage, you have to pursue that woman if you want her. And if she's worth anything, she'll make you pursue her a little bit. You gotta pursue, you gotta put a little effort in. And God is a jealous bride. Or Jesus is a jealous husband, and we're the bride, and he's saying, are you going to pursue me? So if we start to pursue him, he'll start to speak to us. And when he speaks to your heart, it catches fire. And God's desire is for a church that is on fire for him. Why? Because our hearts are submitted to hearing from him, hearing his voice. You go to pray, and it's not just you listening off, rattling off a list, a laundry list of items that you, things that you need, your bills and your kid, and you need new clothes and new shoes, and God, please give me a new car, a new house, thank you, Jesus' name, amen. No, that's not what prayer is. What prayer is where God responds to your petitions, he responds to your leaning into his voice, and you hear from him, and your heart is set on fire. If you get done meeting with God in your prayer closet and your heart is not set on fire, you need to go back in that prayer closet and meet with him again and try again and wait until the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you. Because when he's talking, our hearts respond. Say this with me. Say, I got a fire in my heart. All right, now I'm going to give you a second opportunity to say that again with some fire, with some passion. Say, I got a fire. Say it loud. Say, I got a fire. Turn to somebody. Say, I got a fire in my heart. I'm passionate about my Lord. I'm passionate about Jesus. And I got to tell somebody. Say, I love him. Say, I love Jesus. Say, I love Jesus. Say, I live for him and no one else. Amen. Give God praise in this place.